Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up, where you can
join serial dater Phil.
That's me. And dating detoxer Liz.
That's me. Welcome to the world of online dating.
What can you expect in the Unhinged and Bumbled Up podcast?
Dating do's, don'ts and disasters.
What we and our guests would gladly chuck in the 2020 dating bin to be gone forever.
What real people really think about those tricky dating dilemmas.
Awesome dating trivia. You'll never know when it'll come in handy for that pub quiz.
Top tips and tricks from our awesome guest experts, who luckily know a little more about dating than we do.
So if you've ever had a dating disaster,
ignore the red flags.
If your dating profile is less successful than that guy holding that fish in the profile,
then you're in the right place. Do we know what we're talking about? No! Our dating lives are both utter shite. So join us as we talk all things dating. The good, the bad, and the... Sorry, there's just no spark.
So this week's slightly different to schedule, but we can do that right. Today we have Kissed and Dismissed, looking at women's profiles, the do's, the don'ts, and everything in between. So grab a notepad, sit down, relax, and enjoy. And then coming up on Wednesday, we have Dating Bites, looking at men's profiles, and basically everything to help you out on that. So tune in on Wednesday for amazing information. Now enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to the Unhinged and Bumbled Up podcast. I'm Liz, he's Phil, and today we're joined by Laura Huckey. Laura is a dating coach and she runs Kissed and Dismissed, helping singles tackle their dating and relationship issues to attract their dream person and form a long-lasting relationship together. This week, Laura is going to be sharing some of her great insight and top tips for women about how to be successful at dating, and I will be taking a ton of notes ready for February 2022. So welcome, Laura, to the show. We're really excited to have you on. Maybe you could start by telling us a little bit about yourself and about Kissed and Dismissed.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me. Basically, Kissed and Dismissed was a little brainchild of mine that I've had since probably about 2013. I was, at the time, about 23, 24. I had just moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and I was single, and I thought I was going to be the next Carrie Bradshaw, blogging about being single and dating in the city. And lo and behold, just about 2 months into the endeavor, I met my boyfriend and was kind of like, I don't have anything to say anymore. People don't want to hear from a happy person in a relationship. They want that jaded single person that's, you know, joking about their dates and making fun of the messages they get online. And yeah, it also felt kind of weird to blog about him. I didn't really necessarily, you know, want to air our relationship to the public. So I kind of gave up on it for a while. We were together for 5 years and we ended up breaking up in 2017. And I relocated back to Florida, where I'm originally from. And I started thinking about it again. And I really loved blogging back then. And I said, I'm going to do online dating again. I don't really know many people in the area. That seems like the way. And my friends had kind of started coming to me a lot for online dating advice. I was the first one of anyone I knew to do online dating back in 2008. That's how I met my ex. And I just was getting a lot of luck with it. And people were like, how are you doing that? I feel like it's horrible. I hate it. How do you meet great people online? And it just kind of all came together again. I work in marketing for my day job and copywriting. And that kind of, to me, is like the perfect blend of the things you need to be great at online dating. Really, it's like an advertisement for yourself. So I'm going, okay, I know about how to make an advertisement. I know about how to write about myself. But that's a lot of skills that other people struggle with, even in the professional arena. When you say, hey, give me a bio, people are quaking in their boots. Like, I don't know what to say about myself. So I think that's kind of how I landed doing Kissed and Dismissed. I really specialize in online dating bios and messaging and how people can present themselves best through words on online dating to make the experience a little bit more fun, a little bit less stressful, so that they're attracting the right kind of people.
Great. Cool. Great.
So this week, I downloaded loads of dating apps. pretty much every single, well, not every single one out there, because there are thousands, but I downloaded them. And Bumble seems to be the most successful at the moment. But what I'm finding is all I'm getting off girls is hi, or a little gif going, like waving. So what would be the best opening line, well, the best opening lines that girls could present when speaking to a guy on Bumble, for example?
I think it really depends on the profile. Mm-hmm. I always reference something that's in someone's profile. So I look for somebody that I either have something in common with, or they say something really interesting that I can ask them about. But I agree, I can't stand it when people just say, hey, hi. I hate small talk. I'm just going, how can I make small talk with someone I don't know? It's just really weird. What am I going to say besides good? You know, how are you? They're going to be like, oh, I'm good. And then it's dead conversation. Yeah. So, I mean, it's the same reason why you have to have a good profile, because if you don't have a good profile, then people have nothing to say except for hi. But I assume that you probably have more in your profile than just pictures. So it's funny to me that people aren't taking the time to comment on anything that you've said. I mean, but then again, I think about myself, almost all the messages I get are, hey, hi, hey, beautiful. And
I think some of it is like a numbers game as well, because I think, particularly with Bumble, because at least with other apps, you can kind of share the load of the first messaging. With Bumble, with it, the conversations being all initiated by women, like, I remember I just got to the point where I was like, I don't know, I've run out of, and that's actually when I started to know that I needed to take a break, where I just couldn't be asked thinking of something creative to say. But I totally agree that the more interesting content somebody has on their bio or in their pictures, the more it gives you to jump off. And there is nothing more painful than the how's your day. Don't ask me how my day is. You know absolutely nothing about me, like, so pulling teeth.
Exactly. I don't know why more people don't just take time to comment on something that they see, because obviously something attracted them. Mm-hmm. And this kind of ties into the fun fact I'm going to share about dating later, but it's just going like, you don't really want someone to just say, hey, hi to you. So why would you say that to somebody else? It's very odd to me. And there's probably something that attracted you to that person when you looked at their profile. So just comment on what that is.
Like Plenty of Fish, it's got live streaming now and I don't get it. I watched it and literally it's strange. Like people can date, like do little dates with people that are talking and they have like 1 minute and it's speed dating. But wow. The one that I watched, it was like two girls and it's like, what's going on? And I think there's some form of currency that gets in shape. I don't get it. So
that sounds like more mental energy than anyone has.
So moving on.
Laura, tell us about, as a woman, if I was going to start a dating profile from scratch, so imagine that I, you know, have zero previous iterations, it's literally like a blank sheet of paper, what would be, say, like your top five tips for what needs to go on it, how to write it?
Yes, Where to even begin? I think overall, what I always try to keep in mind, and this is sort of a marketing tip. So if you work in marketing, you may have heard this before, but if you haven't, there's usually something called like a buyer persona or a customer avatar. And when you're a copywriter, you're supposed to flesh out who this person is, right? So it's like, if you've got a product, say you're selling it to Jim, he's 40, he has children, he works this type of job, he likes to do these types of things. And you write all of your content thinking, what is going to resonate with Jim? And I think people think about their dating profile as something about themselves, but really it's not really supposed to be about you. It's supposed to be about the person that you want to attract, because you need to get their attention. So I think a lot of people don't think of it that way. That's kind of the overarching mindset, I would say, that should be a shift for people, where it's going, don't think about, oh my gosh, I know everything there is to know about myself, where do I begin? It's think about the kind of person that you want to attract. What would they be interested? What would they be interested in hearing about you? What are the kinds of topics you'd want to talk to them about? Because a mistake I see is that people just pick prompts. You know, a lot of the dating apps have prompts like Hinge or OkCupid, and they just pick prompts and they just answer the question honestly. And I'm not saying people shouldn't be honest, but I think they should think about the questions that they're picking and think about strategically the answers that they're choosing. Because a lot of apps have the question like, what's your biggest fear? And people will say bugs. And it's like, well, most people are scared of bugs. And do you want to talk about bugs with your potential date? I don't think so. So that's kind of wasted real estate on your profile. So I don't want to tell people not to be honest. It's just really about being strategically honest and figuring out what are the prompts that are going to be answers that are going to generate conversations that I want to have with somebody that I'm interested in. And the kind of person I'm interested in will think are interesting and make conversation with me about. So that's, I don't know if that's one tip or more than one tip.
But I think that's really helpful, because it's a similar kind of conversation that I've had with friends before. Because like, say if you take me and my best friend, we're probably looking for something quite different in terms of the types of guys we like and are interested in, the lifestyle and commitments of those guys. But I think it's a really interesting point to kind of have that like ideal person in mind when you write your profile, and about thinking about like, how do you market yourself to that specific person, not like to everyone. Because I think also I've seen that some people, like this is obviously in guys' profiles, but some people write it like they're writing a CV, and it's like really dry and like stiff. And then some people write it like overshare-y, like a conversation they would have with mates, where you're like, you do realize this is a potential partner you're trying to attract, like, and that's really interesting to think specifically about the person who will be reading it.
It works both ways. Girls do that as well.
Do they?
Yep.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I obviously, I'm a straight female. I only see guys' profiles, but I've asked a lot of my male friends to say, hey, what are some common things you see girls doing that annoy you? And all of their answers are exactly the same as my answers. So it's really, I feel like there aren't a lot of differences between male and female profiles. Everybody kind of comes across the same issues with how people write about themselves, how they're presenting themselves online. I do want to rattle off a couple of other like quick hit fast tips. Use good grammar. I know people like cringe or they roll their eyes, but there is actually statistics to back this up, that if there are spelling errors and grammatical errors in your bio, you're gonna get swiped left more often than swiped right. So you don't have to be, you know, a connoisseur of commas or anything like that. Obviously, I'm a copywriter for a living, so I love my punctuation. But you don't have to be perfect. But if you ask a question, put a question mark. Use some commas, use some periods, capitalize your words. It's just easier to read. I think something that you touched on, Liz, which is a great one, is don't ramble on for too long. I like to say it's like Goldilocks. Don't go too short. You want to provide enough content for people to comment on, but you also don't want to write a novel. People don't want to read that much information. And honestly, for me, it kind of sets off alarm bells. Like, you have way too much time on your hands that you just wrote a 50 paragraph bio. It comes across as almost desperate. So I think it's kind of that not too short, not too long, Goldilocks length, answer a couple of the prompts, but keep your responses just a couple of sentences each.
See, I did come across a really good one today, actually, that listed quite a few things and then said exploring, comma, animals. And underneath it said, yeah, the commas are important in there, because otherwise they'd be exploring animals.
And I I have noticed as well, like where I've read dating profiles before and it's been like just badly written or the grammar isn't great. And I don't want to be really like judgmental because I know there are people with differences like dyslexia and things. And I think it's important not to kind of write people off for bad grammar. But at the same time, when I read a bio and it's like, blah, 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 like it makes me feel quite stressed reading it. And I think like those line breaks, like it definitely has a different feel to it. The other thing that really grinds my gears is like phrases that feel stereotyped. Like I don't have any children. I know that people really love their children. I'm very open to dating people who have children. But if I read one more bio that says my son is my world, I will literally jump out of a window because obviously he's your world. He's your offspring. Like he's literally the product of your loins. Of course he's your world. And literally, like, if I could like tally like millions, like every single dating profile from a person who has children, I'm like, well, yeah, obviously tell me something maybe more creative or interesting, like what you like to do with them or what's unique and special and wonderful about them. But yeah, they're your world, like, duh.
That is such an important thing that you just brought up. And I think this will be like my last tip, and it totally relates to what you're saying. But the other example I like to use that people don't think about is, I think of real estate. This is really weird. I don't know what things are like in England or the UK. I'm not sure exactly where you guys are based. But here it's like when you do an open house to buy a property, usually the real estate agent stages the home and asks the homeowner to take out all of their pictures. And the reason that is because they want the person walking through the house to imagine themselves in there and start creating this narrative. And it's like, I think about pictures, for instance, if you're a straight person and you have a picture of yourself with the opposite sex, the person looking at your profile then gets turned off, or they start comparing themselves to that person going, that might be an ex, or that's the kind of person they hang out with. I don't really look like that person. I probably wouldn't get along with them, when that might be their sister. You know, you have no idea. But that is kind of like, they're not really operating by that real estate standard of like, you should have kind of an empty, to just be you, so the person reading your bio can picture themselves with you. And the same goes with answers. So I think what you're saying is great, because it's like, if you're too generic, it's almost the opposite, right? Like your picture should just be you. It should be empty so the person can picture themselves. But then when you're reading your answers, they should be very specific so that they paint a picture of what dating that person would be like. When you use a lot of generic adjectives like, oh, I'm just a cool guy, I'm really laid back, I'm family oriented, it's like, dude, everybody describes themselves like that. I have no idea what to think about you. I can't picture myself dating you because I can't picture you at all. So yeah. I think when you are answering your questions, you should not be afraid to get specific. I think people feel weird, like if I get too specific, they might not like that thing that I like, and that's going to turn them off. And I'm going, yeah, but you want to date someone that is excited about the things that you're excited about. Get specific, because that'll weed out those people that don't resonate with you.
About dating. This segment is called Facts About Dating, where we increase our knowledge slightly and learn a little fun fact about dating. We also ask the guests to find a fun fact.
So, Liz, have you got your fact for this week?
I have, and it's a biology fact, my favourite kind of fact. Okay, so did you know that women are attracted, or most attracted, to people with a very different immune system to them? So they basically did some research, and they got a load of women, and they got, this is a bit gross, they got men to wear t-shirts and then take off the t-shirts and put them in a plastic bag. And they got the women to sniff all, this is so weird, they got the women to sniff all the different t-shirts. And what they found is that the women were most attracted to somebody who was genetically, or in terms of immune system, most different to them. And they think that that is an evolutionary thing, where two people who have a child, if they have a very different immune system, it gives the child the best chance of a very strong immune system. Ah. And so that's actually a good thing. However, fun fact, it's not very fun, the female contraceptive pill changes what your body does. So the female contraceptive pill tricks your body into thinking it's pregnant. And research has shown that when you are pregnant, you're more attracted to people with a very similar immune system to you, which is part of, is an evolutionary thing to do with you trying to like have family around you when you're pregnant for protection. And so all women who are on the contraceptive pill, which unfortunately includes me, our bodies are like tricking us into choosing different men, because normally I would go for somebody with a very different immune system, and the contraceptive pill is more likely to make me choose somebody who is biologically more similar.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Mad facts.
You always come interesting facts. I'm going to change the whole segment just to interesting facts.
Liz's soapbox rant about the inadequacy of contraception.
Laura, have you got your facts?
I do. So as you guys know, I'm an online dating expert. So I found a fact around online dating that I thought was really interesting. Apparently, Plenty of Fish did a survey last year, and they found that 93% of singles want someone to fall in love with them for who they are and not what they look like, and that 90% of daters feel that chemistry, not attractiveness, is more important to long-term relationship success. So I thought this was so interesting, because I'm thinking about how many messages I get that are literally just, "Hi, beautiful," or "You have a great smile," or "You're so pretty." And I'm going, wait a minute, if 90% or 93% of people are saying that looks are not that important, why is that all people seem to message about? It's so crazy. So I thought that was wild. I did not expect the numbers to be that high. Even people that I'm friends with are like, "I could never date someone I wasn't attracted to." And I'm like, really? Because I could definitely date someone that like wasn't that physically attractive if they were super interesting and super funny and super talented. Like, those things matter so much more to me. But that doesn't seem to be the norm when I talk to people. So I thought that was really interesting that people themselves, when they're getting surveyed, seem to think that they don't think attractiveness is that important. But when they're actually on the apps, that's not what they're really showing.
And I think as well, attraction is a much more nuanced concept than we give it credit for. You think of attraction as being like, are they fit? But actually, attraction is more about like whether you're like drawn to somebody. And I definitely know that I've dated or been relationships even with people when I first saw them, or maybe when I saw their photos, I was like, I'm not sure, we'll see. You don't know whether it's just, you know, good angles or what. And then just something about their character and their personality or their energy or whatever it is, I just find absolutely magnetic, even though they might not textbook be that attractive. Likewise, I've dated people who were like really on paper very good looking, who I could absolutely take or leave after spending half an hour with them, because I'm just not drawn to them in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think this really speaks to how important like your profile and your messaging techniques are online, because it's like you said, sometimes there's a magnetism that somebody has that doesn't really translate through the way that they look, or maybe even the way they photograph. Some people aren't very photogenic, but actually look better in real life. Right. So it's like, it's really important to have a great profile if people actually do think that personality is what's more important, and you know, you want that magnetism to shine through.
100%. So, Phil, what's your fact?
Oh, pressure is on now, isn't it? speed dating was invented by a rabbi from Los Angeles in 1999 and is based on a Jewish tradition of chaperone gatherings of young Jewish singles. Did you know that?
Wow, I did not. And 1999 feels really late. I feel like speed dating's been around longer than that, no?
Apparently not. Yeah. Apparently not. So, yeah. Yeah.
Fun fact.
Fun fact.
Some cultural background for us as well. Like, yes. Always like those.
Have either of you guys ever done speed dating? Because that's something that I've always been interested in doing, but I've never done it.
I never have.
See, I nearly got the courage up. I was in a bar and there was dating going on, but this virtual speed dating that somebody's actually asked me to do. So I'm going to jump on that and see how that goes. Yeah.
Right, so do us a review of virtual speed dating.
Yeah, we'll do a whole episode about virtual speed dating.
Also, definitely when things open up again, you're definitely going to have to go actual speed dating. And I'm probably going to like follow you around with some sort of camera to record it.
Just stand right back like that. That's how we're doing this.
And I'm going to do like a David Attenborough narrative over it. Like, this is Phil caught in the wild.
He's not in his natural habitat.
He looks terrified.
We will do that.
to the questions.
Can you answer this?
Now we're back to the real reason why you're all here, asking our guests the questions and getting the answers.
On to the part of the photos, because I want some more tips about photos, because I know what absolutely annoys me. tell me the do's and don'ts, and if the things that annoy me come up, I will tell you. If they don't, I'll tell you anyway.
Okay, I guess first of all, I cannot stand like shirtless mirror selfies or gym selfies. I'm just like, oh God, this is just such like a not so humble brag. You know, if you are a fit guy, I can tell you're a fit guy with your clothes on or not in the gym. I can tell that from your other pictures. You don't have to do a flex of like your abs. Like, no, such a turn off to me. I think this, most people agree with this or will already know this, but group photos, if you're gonna go with group photos, it better be very clear which person is you. And sometimes what's very clear to you is not so clear to everybody else, because you're going, well, of course everybody knows who I am, because that's, you know, John and that's Rick. And it's like, yeah, but I don't know John and Rick, and I've just seen you for the first time. So like, it's kind of hard sometimes scanning a group photo.
Also, I've had that before on somebody's profile and being like, oh, your mate's fit. Well, if I keep scrolling, will I eventually find him? And that's probably not what you want people to be thinking when they look at your profile. Yeah.
Well, that kind of goes back to the real estate thing, right? So even if it's not like a straight person with the opposite sex, it's also, like you said, if you have other friends that are maybe more attractive than you, there's going to start being that comparison. It's always better, I think, to have pictures alone. That's the best way to go, because there's never going to be that, oh, I wonder who that person is. That could be their ex. Now I'm comparing myself, or their friend's hotter, or those are the type of people they hang out with. I don't really look like I would vibe with those people. There's just way too much room for interpretation versus if it's just you, the person is only judging you. They're only thinking about, what would I be like with this person? What kind of vibe is this person giving off? There's no other factors really messing it up. I do like in photo. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say something that we've discussed in another episode is about men and car selfies. Don't know what it is. Just get in the bin. Just shouldn't exist. And I think there is the equivalent of car selfies. So car selfies are a male thing. I don't think there are that many women with a car selfie necessarily. But I tell you what is the equivalent, and it is the selfie taken from above, usually with like pouting duck face, which I just don't understand. You often also with a filter, because what is better than having a photo taken from above? Having a photo taken from above while you're a cat. Obviously.
Filters are no.
Yeah. But I think when you don't see members of the opposite sex profiles, you don't know what those patterns are necessarily. So like, I have had my settings on various settings. I'll be quite open about that. Sometimes I have it just for men, and sometimes I have it for men and women, and that's cool for me. It was really interesting to seeing women's dating profiles, which is kind of a relatively new thing. And I was like, oh, this is what it is. And it's like photo of girl in bikini, photo of girl jumping on beach, several night out selfies with a cocktail, and like two line bio, like, oh, if you want to know more, just ask. And I was like, really? Like, come on, women. I feel like as a feminist, we should have more to say about ourselves, or like be maybe a bit more inventive. But then when I think about my own profile, like, I'm not sure it's that more much more inventive than that. But there are definite themes on there in terms of what, probably a hot tub. Can't get away without a hot tub photo.
Beach photo in the bikini, yeah. All that love. Yeah.
And look, I think it's sometimes for a valid reason. I think people are sometimes kind of saying, this is my physique, because I do think there is an element where sometimes, like we've talked before about being taken by surprise by somebody being much shorter than they said they would. I think that's also the case sometimes with weight, that somebody is maybe different to what you were expecting. And, you know, it maybe can be helpful to have an idea of people's physique. But I agree, you don't necessarily need to see somebody in a bikini. You don't necessarily need to see somebody with their shirt off to get an idea of what their build is like.
100%. Yeah, I do think like a full body shot is important for exactly the reasons you're saying. I think a lot of times if you have all these close up headshots, people will naturally get really suspicious and go, you're hiding something. You don't look exactly like how I think you look because you're not willing to show yourself. I always encourage my clients to be proud of what they look like. I think a lot of people have a tendency, they want to take pictures in sunglasses. They want to have a hat on. They want to be in dark lighting because they're not confident. And the fact of the matter is, if you show up on a date with someone, they're going to see you in good lighting. So if you actually want to go on a date with them, they're going to see you that way. So don't you want to attract somebody who has seen you and is like, yes, I want to go on a date with that person, versus them feeling misled when they show up? Like, that's definitely not going to work out. So you need to show up confidently.
Yeah, I feel that way about filters as well. Like, we have a great Instagram post that I'm putting out, which is like what you're going to be expecting with me with a filter, and then like in real life. And if you come to a date expecting the, like, you know, where they make your eyes really big and your skin all like dewy, and I've done a like for like comparison, they actually like make your nose much slimmer and your face much more chiseled. And I'm like, mate, if we meet in a bar, you aren't going to recognize me because I just literally don't look like that. Or you're going to be like, man, are you ill? Like, what's gone wrong here?
Yeah. And I think, you know, a little bit of filtering is okay. If the photo doesn't have good lighting and you're improving the lighting, fine. If you have a zit on your face, but the photo's great other than that, sure, Photoshop it out. But I completely agree with you. If you're chiseling your face and you're widening your eyes and, you know, smoothing out your whole face so you look like this weird airbrushed version of you, it's weird. And I know a lot of guys I've talked to too say that. They're like, oh God, the girls with the filters, it's like, it's frustrating. I don't even know what they look like.
You just can't get a feel for what somebody actually looks like when they've got like mouse ears or something. Phil's just shown us a photo of what he looks like with a filter on. And man, that is a handsome man. But who is he and where can I find him? Because it ain't the bloke sitting in front of me.
Dating disasters.
This segment of the show is called Dating Disasters, because let's face it, we've all had them. Each week we'll be asking our guests to share their worst dating disaster, and we'll be sharing a dating disaster we've either received or one of our own.
Okay, so one of my favourite bits of the show, Dating Disasters. So Laura, we've invited you to share one of yours with us, so tell us all about your dating disaster.
Okay, I'm going to share the story of probably what I would consider the most tragic first date I've ever been on in terms of how the person acted, and I'll, you know, share kind of what those red flags were, so hopefully people won't repeat them. So I met this guy on an online dating app. This is when I lived in Atlanta, and we had exchanged some messages. He seemed very nice, but I will say that his messages, they started out kind of normal, and then they got, like, longer and longer and longer. And I started kind of questioning, I don't know, but I'm also a talker, as you guys can probably tell. So I was sort of like, it's okay, I'm a talker. I'm not going to judge him on that. He seems like a nice guy, you know, well-spoken. Let's go on a date. So he picked the place and he said, let's go to Starbucks. And I'm going, okay, that's fine. We'll get some coffee. So I show up for the date. I was there exactly on time. He was not on time. And I'm going, uh-oh, this is an omen. This is a bad sign. We picked a place in the middle of us. Why is he not here on time? He was 10 minutes late. And when he gets out of his car to greet me, he goes, oh my God, I'm so sorry I'm late. I was so nervous that I kept forgetting things. So I had to keep going back to my house. And that's why I'm late. And I'm sitting here going, I'm just a person. Like, why are you so nervous to meet me? You know, you don't even really know me. We've exchanged a dozen messages. Why are you that nervous? And then that almost made me start feeling nervous, because I'm going, do you have me built up in your head to be some like goddess person? Like, I can't live up to that. This is crazy. So that already set things off on a bad foot. So then we're going into Starbucks and we get up to the barista and she says, what would you guys like? And he looks to me and he goes, so here's the thing. I've never really been to Starbucks before, so I don't know how to order. I go, what? Like, what?
Why did you choose it?
That's exactly what I said. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. A, what year is it? Because this was like 2013, 2014. I'm going, Starbucks has been, I mean, I used to go to Starbucks when I was like 12. Mm-hmm. Like, how have you never been to Starbucks? And then second of all, why did you choose it then? If you don't know how to order and you've never been here, why would you choose this as a place to go on a date? So the barista is just looking at me like, what the hell? I'm going like, okay. And then he's like, well, I'll just have whatever you have. And I'm going, dude, I'm like going to order the girliest. I'm going to order like a white mocha frappuccino. I don't think you want that, but okay. So he just got the same thing I ordered, which was super awkward. The barista's looking at me like with so much pity, like, oh God, what have you gotten yourself into? So we sit down and then he proceeds to just the entire date. He's just like flattering me over and over. He was like, oh, but you're such a talented musician and you're such a talented writer and you're so beautiful. And I'm going, you've never heard me sing or play an instrument. You've only seen me write you 12 messages. What do you mean I'm like this gifted writer? This is so bizarre. Like, I just was like, I don't know. And I think this is a thing. People, like, they'll over compliment. Because this actually happened to me quite recently as well. I was on a virtual date with someone during COVID and we got onto the camera and the guy goes, oh my God, you're so good looking. I'm going,
it's so awkward, isn't
what
it?
Am I like, what do you say?
Yeah, cringe.
Yeah, I'm just like, thank you. I mean, like, I think it's fine if a girl shows up to the date and the guy says something like, oh, you look really nice because she's dressed up or something. But leave it at that. Say thank you and don't say anything else again. And this guy on the date said it like 3 or 4 times over and over, but like, you're just really so good looking. Or he would like actually say about himself, like, wow, I'm like shocked you'd go out with somebody like me. And I'm going, okay, well, now I never want to go out with you again because you clearly have no confidence. Like, I agreed to go on a date with you. I saw something in you, but now I'm regretting that decision. So anyway, going back to this tragic date, this guy just kept flattering me over and over, and it just made me feel so uncomfortable. And we leave the date. I think he gave me a hug, which was good. No pressure for anything more because I clearly did not want to kiss him. He gave me a hug, and he texted me later. I don't know if it was that night or the next day, but he texted me. He goes, Laura, in my regrettable haste, I forgot to ask you if you'd like to go out again. I know I do, but I'd like to hear what you have to say.
Was this secretly William Shakespeare that was taking him on a date because he didn't know what Starbucks was and he wrote like 15 pages long?
So it was so awkward. And I think I did ghost that guy. I mean, I was like 24. I wouldn't have ghosted him now, but I think I did ghost him, which I feel quite bad about because he was a nice guy. But I was so taken aback. I'm just going, I don't think he's ever been on a date before.
I would have ordered him a triple espresso macchiato and gone, here we go.
Back to the questions.
Where am I? Who are you people?
This is the final installment of Guest Questions, so sit back, relax, and find out what else we've got to ask.
Laura, something I wanted to ask you about is if we think about women in particular, when women are dating, maybe particularly online, but also kind of in the real world, you know, things are starting to open up here in the UK. So we're kind of thinking about maybe the possibility that you might actually be able to meet somebody in real life. Tell us about what are the kind of red flags that you think that women should look out for when they're dating.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you mean on the actual first date or maybe when they're talking online or both?
Both, yeah.
Okay, I think anytime, I guess before you get to the date, I'll start there. I think anytime that someone is pressuring you to meet up, that's a huge red flag. I think people should be respectful. Personally, I know you mentioned this on your episode, Liz, but I don't like to chat for a long time. I will always advise my clients, like, do not chat for days and days and weeks. It's building too much anticipation. It's going to waste your time. You don't even really know each other yet. So like, what do you even have to talk about for that long? It's always better to just get together and see if there's chemistry. But on the flip side, I've had guys that have been very aggressive where they'll send on the first message something like, so I hate this small talk. Let's just skip to it and go out for coffee. And I'm like, you don't even know me. Like, that seems a little aggressive. And it's kind of almost like, do you not want me to find something out about you before we even go out? Like, that kind of to me is a little bit of a red flag if someone's rushing to the first date. So yeah. I think there's, again, it's a lot of dating is about finding that happy medium. And some people are going to feel more comfortable talking for longer than others. But I think a couple of days is good, you know, chat on the app for a day. If it seems to be a good, good vibe, transition to texting. Once you're on texting, make plans for a date and meet up in a public place. Obviously, a huge red flag is somebody trying to pressure you to meet up at one of your houses. You don't know this person, you've never met them. Meet in a public place, let your friends know where you're going so that it's safe. You can feel peace of mind. Other red flags. I personally do not like it at all when I'm on a date with somebody and they start commenting about people around us. Like, I was on a date with this guy once who goes, "Oh, did you see that girl's boots? They're really weird. Did you see our waitress has her cheeks pierced? That's so odd." And I was just going, "Why do you care, dude? Like, why are you so judgy? Why are you like, what does this matter if somebody has their cheeks pierced or they're wearing boots that they probably like because they're wearing them?" Like, I just feel, to me, I was kind of going, "What are you thinking about me? Like, this is just not a good, this isn't the kind of, like, I want to be with somebody who's positive." I think most people want to be with people who are positive people, who have a nice aura about them. And to me, I'm going, "You are so judgmental. You are fixated on the negative. You're judging everybody. This doesn't, you're not the kind of person that I could see myself in a relationship with." Mm. Other than that, I think, like, treating the wait staff or wherever you are, treating people with respect, that's a huge thing. I think if someone's rude or impatient, that's a huge red flag to me of, wow, okay, whenever there's going to be conflicts, like, you're not going to deal with it well. Mm-hmm. I think that's all I could think of off the top of my head.
That's great. It's so helpful. Do you know, I'm going to share one of mine, and this could actually quite merrily go on the dating disasters segment. But you've heard about this guy before. This is danwantskids.com. And with Dan, something that he did really early on, and I kind of was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt the first and maybe the second time it happened, but the third time I was like, no, we're not doing this. He kept making these little comments about, like, I think the first time I maybe took a while to get back to his message, and I'm somebody who just takes a while to get back. Like, my phone is not always in my hand. You're going to have to wait. Mm-hmm. And I took a while to get back to his message, and he made some, like, little, we haven't ever met because of these things. But he messaged me, was like, "Oh, like, off out with somebody else, were you?" And I was like, no. Like, we're not doing this. And then it happened again, like, I took some time to reply. Like, I don't really use my phone while I'm at work, so I think it was just, like, during the day. And he made some comment about, like, "Oh, I've been ghosted. I must have been replaced." And I was like, A, you haven't been ghosted. I just haven't replied. B, you haven't been replaced because you were never a thing in the first place. Like, you haven't even, like, you know, you haven't even paid any rent yet. Like, you can't accuse somebody, like, of squatting because you don't live here. And then there was, like, a third thing. He said something like, "What are you going to do at the weekend?" And I said, "Oh, I'm going to be straight with you, Dan." And went on to say, "I'm going to drink a whole bottle of wine and watch TV by myself." But when I said, "I'm going to be straight with you, Dan," he replied and said, "You better not have been anything but honest with me." And I was like, whoa. Like, excuse me?
Get in the bin, Dan. Get in the bin.
Get in the bin, danwantskids.com. Like, this is not how this works. And this, like, preoccupation about whether I was texting other people, I'm like, it's none of your business. Like, we haven't even met. Back the hell up. And also, this is, like, major jealousy red flags right here.
100%. Actually, it's funny that you mentioned this because I know women do this as well, because I was dating a guy this past fall and he told me the same thing. He was like, "It was such a breath of fresh air to meet you," because I was recently talking to this woman who did the same thing that you're talking about, where he met her, they had one conversation, it went well, they exchanged numbers, but then he's still on the app swiping and, you know, they haven't even been on a date. And she saw he was online, like, she could see the little green bubble or whatever that he was online. And she did the same thing. She messaged him and goes, "Oh, well, I guess you don't like me then, that you're online and you're talking to somebody else. Like, you know, you don't want to talk to me." And he's just like, "Dude, we've had one conversation. This is bonkers."
Yeah. And also, for you to see that green light, you would have had to been online anyway. So either you were online because you were also talking to other people, or you're online to check up on me. And neither of these paint you in a very good light.
No. So we're talking about the top tips for the do's and don'ts of the first date. And I noticed that you mentioned saying about meeting in a public place, telling your friends. Now, I've had girls say to me, like, "Oh, what's your full name? Where do you live? Car reg." And do you know what? I'm fine with giving that because I've got nothing to hide. That's the thing. I want people to feel safe when they come and meet me. And yeah. So have you got any other top tips for the first date, do's and don'ts?
First date, I think I think a lot of people want to ask about who should pay. That's still a hot topic, I think. Personally, I think everyone should go to a first date expecting to pay for themselves. Mm-hmm. If you really like the person, offer to pay. I think obviously that applies more for guys. I think it can get a little awkward sometimes. And of course, I'm talking about, I guess, straight couples here. I don't want to exclude my, you know, LGBTQ plus audience. But that's why I think I just say, if you really have a great time, offer to pay. And maybe you'll both offer to pay if it's really obvious that you both had a great time. And I just would say, don't make it awkward. If one person is a little bit more adamant that they want to pay, just say okay and say thank you. Don't get in this weird argument of like, no, don't pay. I got it. And I just feel like that gets really uncomfortable really quick. So yes. if one person is a little bit more assertive, if you decide that's going to be you, or if you decide that's going to be the other person, if they offer, just stick to that and just say thank you. And let it move on.
This is a really great tip, and I need to like bank this for the future because I am that person. So I am like a staunch feminist, and I feel very strongly about financial independence for women. And I feel like the last shred of like inequality is this thing about women not paying on dates or about men paying on dates, and this whole like weird chivalry thing, which I just find weird. Like, I'd be perfectly happy for somebody to open a door for me, but I would also open a door for a guy. And this insistence of men about paying, I find so uncomfortable. And if I really like somebody and they offer to pay and they do it in a way that's respectful, fine. But do you know when I will never allow a man to pay? And that is when I don't want to see them again, because I then feel like I am obligated to see them again because next time I have to pay, or because I owe them something. And I don't want to owe something to somebody I don't want to see again. But men are really tricky about this, and I actually literally get into arguments with people because the guy will not back down, and I'm sure as hell not going to back down, so it gets really awkward.
See, the thing with me is the first date with me is normally inexpensive, so something like coffee, drinks, and that's why, you know, I don't mind paying. And that's why if I'm the person that asks the person on the date, then how I see it is I don't mind paying, you know.
And that's fine. If it's like £6 for a couple of coffees, fine. But I think when it's like dinner and it's something a bit more substantial, then it's...
That's
it's
why you don't go dinner for first date.
This is a very good point.
Build very it up slowly, because then you know that, yeah, you don't have to split or anything like that. You build it up slowly.
And there's nothing worse than sitting in front of somebody you can't stand for the entirety of dinner, especially when they order a starter and you're like, really? Are we doing
Mains
this whole three
and
course
dessert
thing? I just need this to be over.
That's me.
You guys have hit two like really good things here. Phil, you said, especially if I ask them out, I expect to pay. And I think that's also a really good mindset. If you're the person who really initiates the date, have it in your head that, okay, I asked that person out, I'll probably be paying. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good way to kind of get through that too. If there's a little bit of like an argument from the other person, just be like, no, I asked you out, let me get it. That's kind of a good way to end it. And I agree with you too. Make the first date something that's lower pressure, no strict timeline, a little bit less expensive. That way, if it doesn't go well, you don't feel like, oh my God, I'm out over $100 because this person was a total dud. And now, you know, my bank account's empty, or I can't go on another date for a few weeks or whatever. I don't know what the people's finances are, but I think those are two really good tips.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way once.
This segment is called the 2020 Bin, basically the Modern Room 101. Each week we'll be asking our guest to chuck something they hate about dating in the 2020 Bin and give us a reason why.
Right, so Laura, the 2020 trash can, as it will be named this week, we sent you a list of what's already been sent in, because we can't mention that again because we're not going back there. That's old news. Now we want to hear your argument of why your item deserves to go in the bin.
Okay, well, I touched on this a little bit earlier. I think this should always be in the bin, not just 2020, but I think especially in 2020, this is a thing that may have happened to a lot of people. Having a first date at your house. no, needs to go in the bin. And I think this is actually a little bit of a dating disaster for me as well. But I'll share the story now. I met this guy basically when COVID happened. I'd been single for a while. I dated people for a few months here, a few months there, but I hadn't been in a serious relationship for a long time. And I had taken a break for a few months from dating from the last person I had been dating short term. And maybe like a week or two before COVID happened, I was like, I'm ready. I'm going back on the apps. And then COVID happened. And I was like, womp womp. But then I was kind of like, you know what? No, I'm not going to let this stop me. I've met friends online. I can do this. I can date online. It's going to be totally fine. So I started dating and I was like, I'm going to have some virtual dates. It's going to be fine. So I met this guy. And we had, I think, maybe two or three virtual dates. And we talked for hours. And I had such a great time talking to him, to the point where by the end of our third date, we'd probably talked for like over 10 hours. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, it's kind of like we went to dinner because we were just sitting across from each other, having a conversation, having a drink. I know all about him because we talked for 10 hours. And there's really nowhere we can go because this was like the first month of COVID. Everything was shut down. I was kind of like, I'm not really sure what we can do. Well, I was like, I guess you can come to my house. I feel attracted to you. But I was so panicked. The minute that I said this, I was like having a complete nervous breakdown. And then the funniest part of all of this is this guy was a former actor, not like famous actor, but like he had tried to be an actor. Mm-hmm. He knows Krav Maga. And he also is part of the BDSM community and loves tying people up. So I'm like, are you nuts? You've never met this person. And he's disclosed to you that he is a very skilled at being someone he's not, tying people up and can defend himself against any attack. Why would you have
red
him
flags.
And I mean, thankfully I'm alive to tell a tale. He was perfectly nice and it was completely fine. But yeah, I immediately upon agreeing to him coming over my house, like had a complete panic attack. I did ask him to send me his license and his license plate number and all this stuff. And he's like, you can tell your friends, you can text your friends. Like he tried to do anything he could to make me feel comfortable, which I really appreciated. And like I said, this guy was a nice guy. We ended up dating for 5 months actually. But I was so panicked and I told myself in that moment, I will never do this again. Even though it's COVID and things are weird, like I have to figure out something else because this just did not make me feel safe as a 5 foot tall single female.
Another thing I've done safety wise, obviously this came up earlier about safety. Something that I find really effective is getting people to send me a video before we meet. So I just get somebody to like send me a 30 second or 1 minute video, like just introducing themselves, because I mean, catfishing is real, right? Like mm-hmm. somebody can send you all the messages in the world and all the photos, but you have no guarantee. Whereas if you can get somebody to send you a video at least saying, hi, Liz, this is blah, you know, I'm looking forward to our date on Saturday. Like, yeah, they could get somebody to record it, but it seems fairly unlikely in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, I think that's a really good one to put in the 2020 bin, Laura. Thank you for that.
Especially yeah. with COVID coming to an end over in the UK, things are opening up. There's no need for dates in the home. So yeah, definitely going in the bin.
The profile audit.
So this segment's called the profile audit. We've given our experts a profile to look at and tell us where we can tweak it slightly and what we can do to attract the right people into our life.
This week, we asked Laura to do a profile audit on one of my friends who kindly sent in her dating profile. Now, I think she might want to remain anonymous, but yeah, we'll just go for it anyway.
Let's this go. Here is where I'm really glad I'm not dating at the moment, because I definitely would have had to have my profile reviewed. So absolutely lucky escape there.
100% you would have. And we'll be doing the same thing next year with yours.
No. So Laura, what's your feedback on the dating profile you've seen?
Okay, I actually thought overall, I don't know if this is what she wants to hear, because I assume she's still single, but I thought it was actually a pretty good profile. There wasn't too much that I thought was wrong with it. I do think the third prompt she chose, it kind of speaks to something I said earlier in the episode, which is it was something like, what was your most embarrassing moment, I believe? And she mentions this like caving incident that landed her in a wheelchair, which is a funny story, but I'm going, that's not really a conversation point. Like, who is going to, like, that's probably not something you want to talk about with your prospective dates. I mean, maybe that they want to go caving, but I don't know. That answer, I thought maybe pick a different prompt that would help paint that picture of what dating her might be like. It also kind of paints her as clumsy, which isn't like really a very attractive quality. So I thought that answer could be improved. Just pick a different prompt, go at something that is more of like a topic you'd want someone to talk to you about.
Yeah.
And then in terms of her photos, I thought she is definitely like a very attractive girl. And I thought some of her pictures did a really great job of showing her personality. I thought she should go for maybe the first photo I thought was like a little filtered, maybe something a little more natural looking. I know you said this earlier, Liz, you're like, oh, I hate that selfie. That's like a little from above. That actually does kind of well. But I know, like, I think it's, I don't know if you guys have read Aziz Ansari's book, Modern Romance, but he talks a lot about photos in that book. And one of his tips, or I guess like the scientific research actually shows that female photos that perform best are actually from that angle that is slightly above. And usually instead of like a wide grin, something that's like a little bit more coy, maybe like a little smile with like your mouth closed kind of thing, something that's just like a little bit more mysterious. So I'd say maybe she should try to work one of those in, because she did have quite a few photos where it was sort of like a mirror selfie kind of thing where she's holding her phone up. So I would say go for some photos that are a little bit less posed, more natural, doing things that are fun. That would probably be my best advice. And like I said, I thought overall, I've seen way, way worse profiles. That was a pretty decent profile. And I think when I think about if she hasn't had success so far, sure, make the tweaks I said. But I think another thing that people should think about is consistency. I know the profile you showed was on Hinge. I can tell you, if I don't sign on to Hinge for a week, I don't really get a lot of matches. The minute that I sign on to Hinge, that day I get like 6 matches. Yeah. And I'm sure that's because they're prioritizing active users. They don't want to match people with people who are inactive because they're not going to start messaging. So if you want to get more matches, you need to be signing on every day. Now, there's a caveat to that. Don't go on every day for 3 hours, because there's also, I don't know if you guys know about this, I was almost going to pick this as my fun fact. There's this thing called oh my gosh, I'm blanking on what it's called, but it's like a rejection mindset. Maybe that's what it is actually called. But if you swipe for too long and you don't like enough people, you start to feel like dejected, like the dating pool sucks, I give up.
Definitely had this.
Yes.
We reference it in our blurb, actually. It's something like, have you ever swiped left so much you couldn't swipe right? And I've definitely got in that rut before where you're like, no. And then I actually realized once or twice that I'd swipe left on somebody I would have wanted to swipe right to, but it's almost like muscle memory. My finger had got used to going in that direction.
Yes, I think for her, maybe she's not signing on frequently enough, and that's maybe why she's having trouble. Or she's signing on frequently, but she's staying on for too long, and she's getting in that negative mindset of, oh, there's nobody here that I want to match with. So I think that's something else to keep in mind, not just for her, but for a lot of viewers.
Yeah.
I can hear that thunder.
There's something about then thinking about the messages that you send to people, and especially if it's something like Bumble where you send the first message. But also, I think there's definitely something in the who you swipe right to and who you match with, and being discerning. And I don't mean like picky, but discerning. Like, I have particular, I used to have like, if somebody hasn't written a bio, I'm not interested, because if you can't be asked, then you can't be asked. You know, there are certain other things which for me would be like, I'm probably not going to engage with that. Not in like I have a shopping list kind of a way, but just about being a bit selective. And I think that's also part of just having standards and having personal respect for yourself, is like, I'm not going to swipe in the same way I'm not going to swipe left on everybody, I'm also not going to swipe right on everybody, because I'm discerning about who I would want to date.
See, one of the things that I was going to say earlier for photos is photos with children in them. Their own children, their nephews, their nieces, anything like that. No, that's an instant swipe left for me. It's like, children do not belong on dating sites.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I mean, I will say I actually don't want children. So when I see a person with a kid, it's kind of the same thing as when they're with somebody of the opposite sex and you start wondering, like, is that their girlfriend? If I see a kid, I'm like, is that your son or daughter? And I'm not opposed to dating somebody with children either. But I think I would honestly rather just date somebody who didn't have kids, because I don't want children. So Yeah, I agree with you. It's like, if you don't have kids, don't put a picture with your kids in your profile. If you do have kids, maybe also leave them out of your profile. They didn't 100%. Give consent to be on it.
Like, mention it, be transparent about it, but we don't need to see them. And from a security safety point of view, it's not ideal.
100%.
Yeah, and I wanted to comment, Liz, on what you had just brought up too, because I thought it was such a poignant point that I know I compare dating to job hunting a lot, which I know is not the sexiest comparison, but I think what you said is so on the money about you have to be discerning about how you swipe. And it's not a numbers game of let me just copy and paste a message and swipe right on as many people hoping I'll get some answers back, because you're going to have a bad time dating that way, because you're going to get a lot of responses from people that don't have anything in common with you or aren't compatible with you. And then you're going to be really frustrated and you're not going to want to date anymore. And you're wasting their time, which is also kind of rude. So it's like, I think about it with jobs, because I'm actually talking to my job about this right now. I'm an internal communications manager. So they're asking me, how can we improve our ratings on the job ranking websites? And I'm going, this starts with recruiting. You have to write your job description the right way. You have to interview people the right way so that you get the right employees in the door. Because if you get the right employees in the door, they're going to have a good experience and then they're going to rank you highly. If you get the wrong employees in the door, they're going to be set up to fail. They're going to leave the job and then they're going to leave you a bad review. And I think it's the exact same with dating. Obviously, there's no, as far as I know so far, there's no like dating review sites. I know there are some that are trying to come out, actually. But oh, is that a big secret?
I've got an app idea, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, Phil's patenting it. TripAdvisor for dates.
I did a collab actually with this dating site called Red Flag Safe. They're trying to launch and they're doing something similar where it's kind of like if you have a bad experience, you can let them know. And that way, if you're going on a date with someone, you can kind of check their database to see if people have had a bad experience with the person you're going out with. But so far, nothing really like that that's popular exists yet. But still, it's going to tarnish your dating experience and you're going to have a bad time. You're probably going to quit and then you're not going to find your person, which is why you signed up in the first place. Mm. So I agree with you completely. Swipe on people that seem right.
Yeah, and definitely like a quality over quantity thing. Like, you're better off having 2 great conversations with people who are potentially good matches than 10 conversations with like any old person, because I think then you get like the dating fatigue and the dating app fatigue, which is the like, I just can't be bothered. And then you stop really putting any effort or thought into the messages that you're sending. And it just gets, I think that's what leads to a lot of like feeling very dejected about dating apps, mm-hmm. is when you get disillusioned, but then you stay on past the point of becoming disillusioned and then it reinforces your disillusionment.
Yeah, that's why I think like the time caps are important. Like, yeah. If you go on every day, I like to tell people do it in a time where you know you're going to have to stop doing it. So it's like if you're in line at a store, swipe for a few minutes. That's it, though. You get to the part where you're paying and you have to close your app so you don't get that fatigue, but you can still stay discerning. Because I think if you're discerning and you swipe with no time limit, that's when you get into that negative mindset of like, I keep swiping left. I'm just going to keep swiping left. Nobody's out there. So it's better to be discerning and then do it in small chunks.
I think the other thing as well, that the kind of, well, actually maybe I'll wait and do this in final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
This segment is called Final Thoughts. Basically, we take a look back at the episode and we each pick something that we'll take away from it or something that we have learned.
And on that note, here we are, we're in final thoughts. So we basically take one thing that we've learnt and we'll take away from the podcast. So Liz, since you mentioned it in my guest section, let's continue here.
So what I was going to say, my final thought is really about that discernment element, but more like not letting yourself get into that like stage where, and I remember this for myself, and this is kind of what made me start my date for a year, was the idea that you're like waiting to find the right one and you have to find the right one. And I realized sometimes that I could spend a whole evening on dating apps swiping, and it's like a time suck. Like, you never realize how long you're actually spending on it. And I totally, what you said really connected, Laura, about just jumping on for a couple of minutes here or there while you're getting on with your life. And I think that's a key thing with dating apps, is not letting them take over your life to the point where they become like your pastime, but more dipping in and out in the quiet moments in between when you're actually getting on with living your life.
Great. Laura, what will you take away from this episode?
Oh man, I mean, I almost want to say like what I want to tell your viewers is like the one thing they should take away, but I actually will say
do it. Tell them what they should take away.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because I've said so many things. You guys have said so many great things. But I think overall, I want people to be able to get in a mindset where it's fun. And I think this kind of ties with what Liz was just saying, where find a way to make dating not feel like a chore. Because I know there's so many people out there that want to find love. And when they get in those negative mindsets around it, whether it's a self-esteem thing, whether it's a burnout thing, whatever is causing it, it's like when you get in that mindset, that's what's going to prevent you from finding it. It's like the thing you want the most, because you're frustrated you can't get it, you give up, and then you're not going to get it. So it's really about being able to stay, like keep that perseverance with it. I think about like all the amazing people who have done great things in life, right? They failed hundreds or thousands of times before they achieved that thing that we know them for. And what would have happened if they gave up on time 800, right? We wouldn't have an iPhone, or we wouldn't have, you know, whatever these great inventions are. So I think it's really easy for people to get discouraged when they're swiping left and left and left, or they're going on bad dates. And I think the best thing I can tell people to take away is everybody fails at everything. Like if you go out on a first date and it's like the love of your life, I mean, that's luck. And most people, that's not how it goes. And I know that's like the Hollywood story. Everybody wants their meet cute, their serendipitous moment. But I actually think like if you put in work and you show up consistently, that's going to be the way that you find a good quality partner that it actually lasts with. I think the people who get lucky, sometimes those relationships don't even work because neither person really was putting in the work. Neither person was thinking about it that much. So I think we're all willing to work so hard for so many different things in our lives. But for some reason, people think that love shouldn't require work. It should just come to them. But I think if you're willing to work for like a hot body, if you're willing to work for a great job, why wouldn't you be willing to work for your love life? It's something that's so important. You should think about putting some work in.
100%.
And totally agree about putting in the work, but keeping it fun and keeping it light and it not becoming like a slog or a chore.
And I think like when you put that work in and your profile is better or your strategy is better, that makes it more fun in the end.
Yeah, definitely. Phil, what are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are about the open house and how you said that people going around open house don't like seeing photos of the other people. So keep away children, keep away groups, keep away member of the opposite sex. Because for me, it's like the profile's meant to be about you. It's meant to be showing you having fun, enjoying yourself, and all those situations. Don't make it about everyone else. Don't make it about your friends, because it creates a lot more things that can run through the other person's head. Questions and that's basically it.
Okay, so Laura, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We really loved having you. And I think some of the tips that you shared were absolutely amazing and will really help people up their dating game. For people who want to find out a bit more about you, where would they find you?
Okay, thank you guys so much for having me. If any of the listeners want to check me out, you can find me on Instagram at kissedanddismissed or kissedanddismissed.com. You can sign up for my email list. Would love to have you. I do a monthly newsletter with dating tips, best of my blog, some fun stuff, playlists. I really love music. So a little bit of everything, and get to know me a little bit more as a person and hopefully also get some great tips for your dating life.
Amazing. I'll definitely be signing up.
Thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you.
And I'd like to thank everyone for listening. If you'd like to get in touch, then you can do, whether that's to submit a dating disaster, ask a question, or ask for some advice. We're not that good at helping, but one of our guest experts will certainly be able to. So if you'd like to get in touch, head on over to our socials.
On Facebook and Instagram, it's at Unhinged and Bumbled Up.
On Twitter, it's at Bumbled Up.
Or by email. It's unhinged.and.bumbledup@gmail.com.
If you liked the episode, then please don't forget to like and share and click the follow button above.
We also now have a website, www.unhingedandbumbledup.co.uk. See you all next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.